for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday evening, December the 30th, 2004. Midwinter camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Ronnie Bejou of Bull Ridge, Louisiana, is the minister on this.
Okay, this is Ronnie's last chance to behave tonight. Okay, Ronnie Bejou, this fishing Cajun.
Hallelujah. My. Hope you brought pencil and paper. We may have class tonight, and we may not. I am going to be on my best behavior. I want to thank Pastor Glenn, Pastor Miller. I heard Brother Howard Pittman refer to him as Pastor last night, so I guess I can call him Pastor. But it's always good to come and be with Brother Glenn and and Doc and Patty and all of you, and even Jane playing the piano. I'm looking for Psalms 133. When you find it, say, I got it. I want to use this as a launching pad tonight. And if you're familiar with the ministry that we have, we always try to find a place to land. I have had long conversations with the Lord and said, Lord, I just cannot make any apologies for who I am. And so you just have to bear with me. I am working immensely and tremendously hard on my grammar, so you can understand what I'm saying, but I want to tell you tonight, sometime Boudreaux comes out. It's just part of my culture. And si tu veux parler français, on peut. Si tu veux pas, c'est bon avec vous autres, mais si tu tournes ta Bible, on va prêcher quand même. So if you want to do it in French, we'll do it. And I'll have Doc interpret for me. Oui, oui. Everybody do this. Loosen up. I want to talk to you tonight about something that I believe is going to have to transpire in the body of Christ to bring us to another level. And so, for the sake of a better title, I've entitled this, The Compound Anointing. A few years ago, as I was traveling, you probably say God talks to you a lot when you're traveling, but He does. I had been to apostle and prophet conferences. I've been to evangelistic conferences. I've been to pastors and teachers conferences. But the Lord began to whisper to me about compound anointing. And we want to share with you tonight what that's all about, if we may, for a few moments. But I want to use this scripture in Psalms 133 tonight to inject a thought. And, you know, I just believe the Lord will allow me to flow in this teaching capacity tonight to help you, because if I start preaching, I'll probably spit on you and forget half what I'm saying. So Psalms 133 says, Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And do you know that in my travel, there's been very few places that I can walk in and greet the brother and greet them as such as holy brethren. There is a difference in referring to someone as brethren and holy brethren. And here the psalmist says, and it is like, verse 2, the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, and as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life forevermore. Turn with me to Exodus 30, will be our text tonight. Let us pray. Father, we are so thankful to be in your presence, a holy and sovereign God. I pray that you would use these lips of clay to impart into these people who are hearing and understanding what is being said tonight, that you would impart into them the purpose and the reasons of the compound anointing and how we must be broken and meshed and mixed and blended and poured out as a pour out offering unto the Lord Most High, and how you so desire to mold us and shape us into the image of your Son Jesus. And Father, we endeavor tonight to ever be like our big brother Jesus. And I thank you tonight for ears to hear and hearts that are receptive as we move into the compound anointing to another level. In Jesus' name, and the church said, Amen. When we gather together tonight, I want to make you aware of something, that every one of you that comes into this facility, come in here with an anointing. Look at your neighbor and say, you have an anointing. In this anointing, we call it the corporate anointing. But from the very beginning, God's desire has always been that He would have Him a man to orchestrate the things in the earth that my wife began to minister about this morning, even as in the days of Nehemiah, when he came up to the gates and everything was burnt, and that speaks of burnt out ministries, and the walls were broken and fragmented, which speaks of laity or the body of Christ who has been broken and shattered because the fivefold ministry has not done its job in the body of Christ. And I want to be very careful how I say this to you. A few years ago, we had a prophetic conference on the compound anointing, and we had much resistance. Because here's what happens. When you have an apostle or a prophet or an evangelist or a pastor and teacher in the midst, is who wants to be the head honcho? But in this compound anointing, God is going to begin to blend us together in such an arena that you will not be able to tell the apostle from the prophet and the prophet from the evangelist and the pastor from the teacher or the deliverance minister. It's like, you know, God never told us that we had to be specialists. He told us that we had to be believers, and that believers would lay hands on the sick, and that deliverance was the children's bread. Somebody say amen. And so when we corporately come together, we come in here with an anointing that we are to share this anointing and give this anointing back to God. We should come in here with a mindset and understanding that we are the priests of God, and the thing that we must do first is to offer praise and sacrifice and to worship God first and foremost, and empty out of our own spirits the oil, if you please, the anointing factor that God has put inside of us. And when we all begin to do like the 10 virgins, but the 5 wise virgins who had oil, and they brought extra oil with them, because God wants a church that will operate in the overflow of His anointing. The anointing that you have sitting next to the person that you're sitting at in one particular service should be enough anointing to take care of all their problems. But what has happened, we've come to competition. And that means we still have a Saul spirit operating in the church. And Saul, who was king of Israel, I'm going to just meddle a little bit before I get into it, setting some ground rules, who was not only the king of Israel, he was the man. But I want to remind you, the only reason that Saul became king of Israel is because the people elected him, and they wanted a king, and God gave them a king after their own hearts. But the guy that Jesus had in mind, or God the Father had in mind, was David. Because in the Davidic anointing, in the Davidic covenant, there is no competition. Because out of the Davidic lineage came the Zadok priest, who first ministered to God after the order of Melchizedek. Now, the word corporate is interesting because it is defined and broken in two. The word cor means with, or corporate, or the second part of it is to work. So it means God is looking for a body that will gather together and work together. Can I get an amen? Shall I, brother? Can I get an amen? I like Chris like, he does it so fast. I go, can I get an amen? I said, man, what are you saying? He's getting an amen. I said, man, I thought I was fast. He's getting an amen. Amen. Don't you love Brother Chris Simpson's ministry? I told him, I said, brother, I'm sorry. I called you Simmons twice in a row. He said, that's all right. He said, I know my name is Simpson. Working together for a common purpose. I'm going to use in contrast tonight with some of the things I'm going to share with you in the compound anointing, the difference in what God told Moses and what Jesus said through the lips of Paul pertaining to the fivefold ministry. When the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, gather together, there's a different kind of anointing. It means that it's been compounded. It means that it's been mixed, meshed together, broken, blended in, to where you don't need an identity to tell them, but to tell one from the other. Does that make any sense to you tonight? Now, the word together, compound, means to put or place or mix or combined. From the very beginning, from creation, God had all intentions after the fall of Adam to have himself a people who are collectively gathered together who make up the church. And the fivefold ministry was not discovered in Ephesians 4:11. And I'm going to show you that tonight. This is my mantle. This is what I do. I'm with the authority. I'm with fivefold ministry. This is my input in the body. So bear with me. Amen? Now, let's read out Scripture tonight. Exodus 30, verse 22. Right after Jesus, or the Lord, begins to tell Moses how he wants to build the tabernacle. You know, he goes through all these dimensions. He goes through all phases of how he wants to build the tabernacle. It's a pattern, folks. Say, everybody say, it's a pattern. God has never changed his mind about the pattern. In the Old Testament, we had king, priest, prophet. Hello? In the New Testament, we have apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Are you with that? And so he tells him, moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 23, take thou also unto thee principal spices. Now, I want you to notice in your Bible, if you write, underline them, there are five principal spices. There's the myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekels of the sanctuary, and of olive oil, a hin. That's not Benny hin. Everybody say hin. Now, move over to, on down to verse 25. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of apothecary. First time I preached that, my wife said, you're not saying that right. I tell you, I was trying to cross all my T's. And we were somewhere, I don't know where, and I was saying apothecary. She said, it's not a pot you carry, it's apothecary. Apothecary is nothing but a good hopped up word of referring to pharmacy, one who works with pharmaceutical products. And it's a device where my brother was one, and before he died, I tried to get it, but I never could. But this little device, it's kind of a bowl shaping thing with this other thing, and they smash fields or they crush fields together. And I want to get into that in just a little bit. Because he calls it here in the art of apothecary, but notice that he said, an ointment compound after the art of apothecary, it shall be a holy anointing. And the Lord said to me, that's compound anointing, because once you blend it and crush it and just crush it up together and then turn it into liquefied form, it can be poured out. How many of you have been to a pharmacist and got some liquid medicine? How do you think you got it into a liquid form? It is just in the pure. It's liquid. And so the pharmacist, it's an art that they take these different kinds of pills. And of course, you got to know what you're doing. You can kill somebody if you put wrong pills together. And very much so like the body of Christ. Because if we don't know what office we're in and we don't know what office we're operating out of, we might be prescribing to people the wrong kind of medication when it gets to the good news. It's, in other words, I would be absolutely miserable if I was trying to operate out of an evangelist flow. I am not an evangelist. I would absolutely be miserable if I was just operate as a teacher. I am not just a teacher. But I can operate out of the gift and calling that God has given unto me, and that anointing He's given unto me will make room for itself. Isn't that right? So I don't care what your opinion is about me and what you think about my preaching. I know who I am and I know my place. But it took me a while to find it. But when God begins to do this thing and blending and bringing His fivefold ministry together and begin to minister out of the heavens and to the earth, some of you won't have to take as long as it took me to find out who I am and where I am and what I'm supposed to do and how I'm supposed to function. And you can begin to function because out of that compound anointing comes a ministry of release. I pray tonight that God will give me the good sense to help to release you into what God anointed you to do. I can tell you one thing He didn't anoint you to do is to sit on the pews. But to take the message of the Lord Jesus Christ unto a dying world. And I can also tell you, you don't have to go through 4 years of Bible college to do it. All right. Y'all are helping me real good. In working, it's going to take learning how to allow the spices to mix and to blend in. Everybody say, God has to mix and blend it in. I'm not impressed with a man that has to stand up before a body of people all the time and remind them of what his office is. One of the most things that I was asked in traveling was, what are you? You know, most people judge you by what you tell them. And so one night I said, Jesus, you know, you never answered anybody's question with an answer. You always answered them with a question. And so I asked this gentleman, I said, who do you think I am? He said, well, I don't know. You prophesy to people. I said, does that make me a prophet? Well, I don't think so. I said, no, just because I prophesy doesn't make me a prophet. And I said, this is how you tell people. So listen, when I come to you as I am, however you receive me, that's what I am to you. If you receive me as a prophet, I'm a prophet. If you receive me as an apostle, I'm an apostle. If you receive me as an evangelist or a pastor or a chief, that's what I am. However you receive the gift of God, that's what that gift becomes to you. And so doing that, we can do away with labels and we can do away with titles. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. If we can get to where I need to get tonight to make some kind of sense, if God will somehow help me to articulate the words that is in my spirit, they can be put in your spirit. In mixing the spices, there's gathering, but there's also crushing. And it's not just any kind of crushing. Because when the Holy Spirit of God has to work something, child of God, out of your life and my life, He knows how to crush us. And He knows when to stop. You think you know when He's supposed to stop, but He knows when to stop. You think sometimes you're beyond your limit, but He always goes the second mile. And if He takes an inch, you'll swear He took 20 miles and you're not supposed to swear. Then after the crushing, see, that becomes a release that begins to be poured out of you. Because freely you have received, then you can freely give. And so what that does in the body of Christ and in the fivefold ministry, in the ministry of God, it takes away selfishness. It begins to remove the selfishness of the selfish mindset in the body. It's not what I am, it's who's in me. Because I am what I am by the grace of God. I used to say, I am that I am, and I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. God told me to quit saying that, so I can't tell you that anymore. And I'm not married to Olive Oil, and Pluto's not my enemy. Amen? Y'all better loosen up. Do it again. Loosen up. And that there's time, a time after the release, there's a distributing. When God begins to use you to distribute yourself at more than one place, He begins to summon you to other places. Oh, but I'm happy in my local church. I'm sure you are, darling. But your services will come to a place and a time where you're needed in other places. And see, when Father summons you, how many times we've heard the word this week, I beseech you. That means He summons you. He calls you to His side. How many times we heard Nehemiah this morning say, Lord, I beseech you. Twice in the passage that she read, Lord, I beseech you. Come to my side. Come to my aid. Lord, I need your help as I'm beginning to be poured out into the lives of other people. And let me encourage you, while God is pouring you out, He's filling you right back up. You're not going to run out. Can I get an amen? Amen? So put all your insecurities to rest. And the Father's embracing begins to become a sweet smelling savor. And before I get ahead of myself, quite often while we were ministering, my wife and I God will begin to develop a fragrance in the sanctuary. And one little young believer came to me and she says, "Whoo!" She says, "I don't know who's wearing that perfume." She said, "But it so smells heavenly." I said, "It's not Chanel number 5, honey." And all of a sudden, this thing began to spread into the whole room. And we began to smell it. And God says, "Son, that's myrrh." Myrrh comes and is developed in the apostle because it's a sacred oil. Very few people in the body of Christ will ever carry the myrrh. It comes with much crushing and a whole lot of blows. It comes with imprisonment. It comes with solitary confinement. It comes with a time where you are totally separated until the Lord. That is not an easy place. Especially if you're a people person. It will require efforts and above all, not allowing any animosity to set in. I have the privilege tonight with some of the ministers that are here to orchestrate how the fivefold ministry can work together without any animosity. And so you preachers, when I call on you, don't be holding on to the back end of your chair. Just step up, please. God is going to do a thing. And He's going to do a marvelous thing in it. Amen? I always give you this little warning. I'm like Brother Glenn. I learned some of his manners, you know. He's been speaking into my life for over 20 years. So this is what I have to say to you. If it's too much for you right now, you need to get out the pot before we get started. If it's just too much, you can't handle it. Because it will intensify. Can I get an amen? It's going to intensify. So, as we look at these five ingredients, they're main ingredients. I call them five main ingredients. The pure myrrh is holy. It's a spice given, not for you to lord over others. I'm going to show you after a while how this is mixed and blended and how you can notify it in your life at times. And times that you will even get to literally smell it. How many of you know you can smell yourself at 110 degree weather? You've been cutting grass for about 4 or 5 hours. You can get a good whiff of you. The cinnamon is the prophet spice. It has a lot to do with God erecting things. Because, see, the prophet, he's a seer. He can foretell the present and the future state of the church. How many of you know, how many prophets you know doing that? How many prophets you've been under that tell you how well you are and how wonderful you are and how marvelous you are and you're just a blessing, hallelujah. But when it comes to really reading your mail, they'll fall back because they have a lying spirit. They're only out to get your pocketbook. Not too many years ago, we started praying against these prophets that was on the 1-900-something numbers, and you could call a prophet at any time for $150, you got a word. This is not what God designed. If you are a true prophet or you have the gift of prophecy and somebody stepped before you and God has a word for them, you ought to be able to prophesy to them whether you have $100 or no dollars. And if you're in it for the money, you're in the wrong place. Hallelujah. And so then the calamus spice he talks about is the evangelist. He operates in this. He keeps the balance of the what we call the reed stock. See, the evangelist builds upon what the apostle and prophets had laid. I'm going to give you some scripture for that in just a little bit. And then he told Moses, moreover, the kaseya. I'm not Hebrew, so you may have to help me with that word. That's the pastor. He's the pastor. He has this spice in his life. He can help orchestrate anything in the church. He can be part of the praise and worship team. He can be part of the soul winning team going out. He just has an ability of God to operate with this spice in his life. And I thought it was so interesting when you look at this that God is telling Moses this way before there was ever an idea of a New Testament church that was going to be formed with a fivefold ministry input. The Old Testament speaks to us in types and shadows. That it all points to Him. Amen? The olive oil is the teacher. I think Carl is going to like this one. When you're a teacher, you like to preserve things. You like to maintain a certain spice or order with your people. Not letting them know, I'm the teacher. But they know that you have the teacher in you, and they receive this from you. And in everything that the fivefold ministry does, it is supposed to be imparted to the body. So if you're sitting in a ministry where all you're getting is sour persimmons, may I suggest that you find another place?
Amen.
Can I get an amen? Now, in making comparisons, turn with me to Ephesians 4. We're going to move a little bit faster now. I think y'all are getting settled in. Most of you can quote this. I just don't know how many of you know this. Ephesians 4, for Paul is speaking to the church at Ephesus, a very spiritual church, but it had problems like any other church. Is that right? Have you ever been to a perfect church? And if you have never found a perfect church, you will never find a perfect pastor. Two tones in every pastor in America that you can find, the tone of bitterness and the tone of sweet. Sometimes he's bitter, sometimes he's sweet. Sometimes he's bittersweet. Because what God is doing in the area, he's going to cause the pastors to begin to rise up and begin to really practice 2 Timothy 3:16. For every word of God is inspired. But most pastors in America want to tell people when they walk out of the church, "Oh, brother, I love you. You're such a good brother." They don't have problem teaching doctrine. They have problems correcting their children. They have problems reproving them in righteousness. And you see, pastors and pastors' wives are very much the spiritual parents of that flock. Hello? I tell Susan, that's Jenny's mom, she's been one of our oldest daughters, and every once in a while, I just have to look at her eyes and say, "What's up?" He said, "Well, everything's fine." I said, "Don't give me that." And so we go through this until she begins to realize I'm there to help her, not to hurt her. I believe there is another look in Scripture that we have to take to find out what this fivefold ministry really involves. And it doesn't mean Apostle Joe here, Prophet Bill there, you know, Sister Sue, Prophetess, and Sister Ann, or Evangelist Jack over here, and all these different identities where they're supposed to blend in and work through the local assembly. And I'm bold enough to tell you that if a church is founded without the ability of an apostle or a prophet, it's out of order. Pastors don't start churches, evangelists don't start churches, and teachers don't start churches. Go back and read the word. Ephesians 4. Say amen when you get there. He gave some apostles. Look at the order. He gave some prophets. He gave some evangelists. Some pastors and teachers. Now, hold your finger there and go a couple of pages over. Ephesians 2, 20. And it says, "And are built upon the foundations of the apostles." He has the myrrh. Is that right? "And the prophet." He has the cinnamon. "Jesus Christ himself being the chief corner stone." There's nowhere you can fit pastor, evangelist, and teacher laying foundations. One guy told me, he says, "You know why you never call a plumber to put up your roof?" I said, "Why? Why don't you call a plumber?" He says, "He's liable to pull a commode on top of your roof because he's not a roofer." Does that make sense? So, in the early 70s, when in the charismatic movement was absolutely powerful, we had a wonderful pastor, and he just told us, "You're anointed of God." He laid hands on us, and we went out. And some of us came back in as fast as we went out because we were not under the prescribed order of God. And notice that God told Moses to establish this in the tabernacle. And what is the tabernacle, folks? We are the tabernacle of God. We are God's building, and we must come into divine order. He said in 1 Corinthians 14:40, "Let everything be done decently and in order." That means elegantly. That means reasonably. That means honorably. Not fragmentedly. God is not interested in building a house that's going to fall apart in 3 months. He will not build them like that. I preached a message some time ago that strife is not my wife. God will never build a work out of strife. Never. And so when we have strife in our lives, we better get rid of it. And if you don't like what the headship is saying to you, you better get out. You better get out and be safe, because you're going to cause problems if you can't get it right. Amen? And because God wants to use us to set us as stones in the house, to build a house that will bring glory in honor to the Father. Hallelujah. Is that helping you tonight? Back to Exodus. I'll come back to Ephesians 4. Might as well put a clip in your Exodus because we'll be back and forth. When he talks about the art of apothecary, you want to help me, Mike? God knows the scent of a woman. A woman is the church. There was one guy on TV when he talked about the scent of a woman, and I was going through the channel and I heard him go, hoo-ah! Isn't it as amazing that the male species, when a woman with the right perfume walks by, it just grabs hold of his attention? I didn't say his lust, his attention. And she leaves that odor behind, and she can be half a block down, and you walk by and go, whew, Chanel number 5, or, you know, all these different names that they come up with. When God descends in His presence and He takes a whiff, He does not want to smell us. He wants to smell His fragrance that He put in us. And if you're an apostle, He wants you to smell like myrrh. And isn't it interesting that before any woman was brought before a king, in generality, they would bathe in myrrh and all these wonderful spices. And the woman is symbolic of the church. God is looking for His church to begin to function like His wife. The concept that we have is some sweet day in the sweet by and by, we're going to get caught up on this theory when we get good enough to be where He is. The concept that God wants us to have is that when He saved us, we became good enough. And He approved us. And He approved us because He qualified us by His blood. Can I get an amen? Amen. Jesus made us whole by His blood. And now we just got to get a hold of what He did. Somebody say amen. Now, Exodus 30, verse 34. Let's pick up verse 33. Whosoever compounded any like it, or whosoever put it any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. In other words, if you try to operate out of any other office that God placed you in, you're not going to be right with God. And you can't take somebody and make them an apostle, and take somebody over here and make them a prophet, and take one over here making them evangelists and the pastor, and begin to incorporate them and blend them in and lay hands on them and anoint them and call them into the office when God has not called them. Because when you begin to mix this up, because the apostle has the ability to set the foundation. He knows how to take every stone and place it where it belongs and to equip it. And then the prophet comes and does a similar thing and begins to speak into his life. The trend in America is that when you have 4 or 5 churches now, you can call yourself an apostle. That is not in the Bible. If I understand Paul's writings at all, he suffered a whole lot of afflictions to get into this high calling. What I'm saying to you, church, there's a cost involved for us to get to the next level. But if we will work together corporately and then compound what God has given us and not feel threatened towards one another, or feel inferior towards one another, God will begin to come by the mighty power of His Holy Spirit and begin to blend us in and mix us together and liquefy us and pour us out. But there's no 1, 2, 3 gimmicks. It involves work and working together. We're going to try another conference. We didn't make a very big hit the first time. We're going to go for it again. Because I believe this. If God's going to be instrumental in doing anything in the body, and there are going to be any changes made in the church world, it begins with us. Amen. We can have the greatest ideas. We can have the greatest concepts ever known to mankind. But unless it begins with us. If judgment begins in the house of God, in our own houses, then we have to begin to judge ourselves. If you know that God called you to an office and you're sitting at a less office or a secondary place, you are not operating under the anointing of God, and God cannot bring you to another level because you refuse Him. You know, I enjoy being at home in the wintertime, sitting across my feet, drinking coffee in front of my fireplace. I don't need to come to Hot Springs, Arkansas, or any other place. I could just sit there and cross my legs and say, well, praise God. Hallelujah. Wouldn't that be selfish? Yeah. I know y'all love me. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now, Let's see how God incorporates these four spices. He begins with the stat, or the naphtah in Hebrew, in verse 34. And the Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices. How many of you would like to be sweet? The stati, or the onyxa, or the galbanum, or the frankincense. And in verse 35, says, thou shalt make it a perfume. Oh, we think that our industry came up with this idea of making perfume, or in France, or in some other foreign country. No, God did. And how did he get it? A confection after the art of apothecary. Say it out loud. Tempered together. That means we're going to have to rub elbows. Flesh, everybody say flesh, is going to rub flesh. And then pure and holy. May I suggest to you, the person that you dislike the least, that you start rubbing elbows with him so God can work something out of you. And I can't believe you said that. I just did. You want to say it again? Something happened to me years ago when I was a young lad that I felt that this guy had taken advantage of me, and, you know, I don't want to get into all the details. And years after I had gotten saved, every time I ran across him, I was always at a filling station, and he was always facing me. And I literally find myself trying to dodge, you know, behind my pickup truck so he couldn't see me while I'm pumping the gas. Because what would rise up inside of me was not godly. I wanted to give him a knuckle sandwich on the side of his head. I wanted to get my revenge. And so I thought, well, okay, I escaped it this time. That was good. Hallelujah. I'm driving down my pickup truck. I'm praying in tongues. I'm still saved. Hallelujah. I'm having a good time. And God, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord said, you blew it. Ah, well. So what? No big deal. And so God has a way of having two walls meet. And where do they meet? At the corner. And so I get another opportunity. And so this time, he is just, I mean, he's right in front of me. I cannot duck. And I can't go around the other side. I have to face him. And instead of me offering him a hand of fellowship, he did. I said, oh, that's good. I can use my left hand. Voila. So in the spirit, I wanted to whack him. I saw it. And so I got to see you. You're lying through your teeth. Get back in my vehicle and drive again. And he says, you blew it again. And the Holy Spirit said something to me. He said, son, how do you think I can bring you to another level when you keep refusing? He said, I told you to love your enemies and to bless them that persecute you. He said, you're doing everything in your power but to run from them. And you, all you want is revenge. Well, I could tell you there wasn't a sweet spice that was manifesting in my life. Of course, I know that I'm only talking to myself tonight. Nobody wants to help me. Just because I decided I was going to teach a little bit, y'all don't want to help me now. You want me to run across the challenge and spit on you, make you feel good about yourself. Thank you, Doc. Do you know that this little stat, naphtah, is it means it has drops and it's from a shrub used in the altar of incense? It comes with a prophetic tone, meaning to drip drop from above. It's sweet. And it's not out of the imagination or ideology or the logic realm. It comes from the divine inspired mind of God. Do you think God knew this when he wrote the Bible? He knew everything before he even made us. And he says, Ronnie, what I have in store for you, and I'm not going to talk to y'all tonight because y'all don't want to hear it. Ronnie said, what I have in store for you, not only that you prophesy, but I want you to manifest this sweet spice of such in your life. It is sweet. But I want you to know that even though you begin as a little shrub, you're going to end up like a tree. The planting of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm excited about God. I'm changing from glory to glory. But I need a little spice. And the onka, the idea of peeling off by concussion of sound. It's the concept of when you hear God, you will not hear him as a little pussycat, but you will literally hear him as the Lion of Judah. He will come to you in the sound of the wind of a roar of a lion. And you will feel it when he speaks to you that everything in your fiber and your being will shake and quiver
at the voice of a holy God. An experience you've never had before. Sometimes you may have had an impression in your mind that the Holy Spirit of God spoke to you. But when He begins to speak to you and He begins to develop this spice in your life, He begins to peel back from the carnal mind and He begins to reveal His mind in you. And when He reveals His mind in you, you begin to hear this inner voice. The Lord begins to speak to you with fervency and with power, and it's like fire, and it will melt like wax, and it will begin to destroy the power of the enemy over your soul. You go, oh, I like that. It smells good. But it's not like cologne that you can slap on both sides of your cheek, brethren. It's something that God does in you when you begin to allow Him to break you and to blend you and to mix you and begin to pour you out. And you begin to hear His voice. Listen to this, Doc. It has the idea of repelling human sin. You know that flesh does not repel devils? It attracts them. And he said, where do you get this? When brother told me he liked to eat all these fried foods and stuff, he says, brother, I bless my food. He said, the fat is of the Lord. I said, what? He said, brother, I'm just eating everything I want to because the fat is of the Lord. I said, no. The Bible says the fat is. And the fat is when God has you on His barbecue pit. And we started this love affair, in case you forgot, in the outer court. We're talking about the tabernacle of Moses. In the outer court, where you became the barbecue. You became the ideal meat on the barbecue of God. And His fire began to burn. And when He began to melt enough away from you, that the savor began to rise up to God and say, oh, I like that. It smells like Jesus. Because He repelled the human sin. He took it away from you. He destroyed Adam once and wouldn't you like to get rid of your old man? Ladies, I don't mean literally your husband. And one way that we can do this, begin to compound and begin to blend and mix and quit having seminars on how to pump up Adam. Motivational things are nothing but hyper-pumped up, physical, flesh, stinking, smelling, set, human set. If you
cover it and study it carefully, you'll find that it has a whole lot of demonic means to it. Did you ever do any pressure selling? It's almost a form of mind control to get somebody to buy something they don't even want to buy.
That's right.
And then we take that which we have possessed and we offer it to God. He doesn't want that tithe. He wants you. If the world in which we live is going to change, we have to orchestrate the changes. When the body corporately, globally, and compound will begin to operate under the orchestration of the Holy Spirit, we will absolutely revolutionize your word, revolutionize the world. But as long as all we can do is present to God human flesh, human scent, we will attract devils and never repel them. Now I'm fixing to tell you how to repel them. The next spice is galbanum. Oh, God knew exactly what He was doing. It's aromatic. It's used for gum and make it, to make resins. It's bitter. It's bad. It smells bad. Out of galbanum, there is an insecticide which is called, let me see if I can remember the word. Tricella. Do you remember the word? But this, huh? Citronella. It repels bugs. For the most part, the devil is nothing but a bug in your ear. Because when you begin to praise God and worship God, he can't hang around. Now, if you're doing lip service, you're offering to God your flesh. Here's the principle. Won't cost you nothing. The tape's not extra. The reason that Abraham didn't get any further with Ishmael because he cried out of his soul for God to spare him. But he never cried out of his spirit. And God blessed him because he was not the son of promise. And he says, out of your own bowels, I'm going to give you a promise.
There are things in the church that we cry out of our soul, and all they do is produce human sin. And God will not bless it. Well, you say, preacher, give me some clarity on that, okay? When you get to heaven, unless Jesus comes first, you will not find any pink Cadillacs. And if you're driving a Volkswagen, you'll be able to park in the front row. Let me explain. There are churches in America, sad to say, they're in the prosperity message only. And if you don't drive a certain type of vehicle, you cannot park in the front row. I beg to differ with you. I believe when I'm riding on God's chariot, I should have the same privilege as my brother and sister, whether I wear a two-piece suit, a three-piece suit, a clown suit, or not a clown suit. I ought to be able to park where I want to, because the earth is the Lord and the fall is down. And we've made a distinction in the body of Christ, and he does not like that. Now, notice he didn't say, now, Moses, all those that have the prophetic utterance, the stat, you know, spice, they can park in front. And all those with the anka, you know, after they have had the concussion and they finally heard my voice, they can park in the second row. But these guys with the deliverance ministry, we want to park them back in the back of the fence. That's not what he said. You know what the Lord told me on the way back from Hot Springs in the Thanksgiving camp meeting? I'm driving up to the out of Hot Springs, and the Lord said to me that deliverance has almost become a lost art in America. Now, this is the way he said it to me. You take it for what it's worth. Maybe you don't like the word art, but the gifting, however you want to call it. I think his vocabulary is a whole lot better than mine. When he speaks to me sometimes, I still have to refer it to Webster's. Hello. Now, this repellent is to ward off flies. You can actually have galvanum manifest in your life and expel demons from you. Did you notice that Jesus never went to the Sanhedrin to get the devils cast out of him? He could have said, the religious you have with you always. That's my paraphrase. We have them. In Galatians 3, Doc read this the other night. In verse 1, it says, "All foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" That talks about a witch's brew. We once used to believe the truth, but now we believe this. Now we believe this. Tomorrow we believe something else. And I haven't even got to the point of, I don't even understand what the definition of no really means. Because I'm not operating under the prescribed order of God. 2 years ago, I prophesied to the church that the Lord was going to destroy Super One Christianity. That means when you don't like my message, you go to Pastor Glenn. If you don't like Pastor Glenn, you go to Sister Mary. If you don't like Sister Mary, you go to Brother Robert. I mean, if you just don't like, you just keep moving from church to church, week to week. When God starts shaking it, I'm telling you something I know. People are going to literally, Brother Glenn, you listen to these words. They will literally run to the house of God, and we will not be able to build tabernacles big enough to sustain them. So may I suggest to you that some of you sitting at the sound of my voice and will be listening to this tape or CD, that some of you are even parking lot pastors because you can't get them in the building. Who's going to preach to my side? Are we going to let them die? I think not. So it's time for us to rise up to another level of understanding that God wants to bring the compound anointing to the body of Christ. And can you imagine the headlines when fivefold ministers start getting along? I mean, can you imagine? I could come here for a whole camp meeting and not preach. Oh, my God! Because somebody else was invited. I know what I'll do. I'll stay in my room and sleep because I don't want to listen to them. Do you know how many times at the Charismatic Teaching Center years ago when we had a full-blown Bible college, they would call nightly, "Who's preaching?" And Pastor Willis finally got wise. He said, "Tell them the Holy Ghost." It depended on the crowd, whoever was speaking, because they were following an identity. What I'm saying to you, God is going to begin to remove the identity of what we've made it. Listen, it's an honor to be an apostle or prophet, an evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Don't misunderstand me. But there's still some work to be done for God to begin to cause this thing to take place. Now, in mixing, look at verse 22. He says, "Take also unto thee the principal spices of myrrh, sweet cinnamon, calamus, cassia, and the olive oil." But in verse 38, if you notice, he says, "Whosoever shall make like unto them to smell thereunto shall even be cut off from his people." God has a standard. Folks, we're not going to change it. He has a pattern designed that we have to dig in the Word to find out what He meant. God always says what He meant, and He meant what He said.
Hallelujah. Y'all getting anything out of this? Verse 35. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the order of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. Let's look at that again. He said, you shall make it a perfume. How many of you in here have the ability to make perfume? I'm sure we could put some stuff together. And only God knows what we would come out with. There's another thing in this arena of galbanum. A Hebrew word called gator. G-A-T-A-R. It's another time that God comes and He fumigates the place. You ever hear these old timers talk about the Shekinah glory? We've been privileged to be in places at times when that manifested. I never got a big thrill out of the gold dust and the silver, but I got a big thrill out of the Shekinah glory. The idea of fumigation in a closed place, it drives out the occupants, the trespassers, the unregenerate. It absolutely removes everything that is not of God and turns it into God's holy sanctuary. And out of this galbanum, and it also is used to make rattan furniture, it has natural abilities, but it also has spiritual abilities. And the confection is a spice or a mixture of perfume and ointment. And it's seasoned with salt. What does salt do, people? It preserves. Do you know that there is such a thing in the Bible called the covenant of salt? And the art part of this is called maash. M-A-A-S-A-H. It's done by needlework. How many of you ladies know how to crochet? How many of you can do fine needlework? There's an art to that. He said, well, tell us. I'm going to help you to understand. We're going to orchestrate some of this. Now, Brother Mike here is a good guy. But he absolutely knows nothing about this woman's life. Am I right, Mike? Might have met her. Didn't acquaint it. But God the Holy Ghost comes, and there's some things in her life that God can use Brother Mike to take care of. And he becomes the fine needlework as he begins to sew by the leadership of the Holy Spirit and begins to knit her together just like the Holy Spirit, and he begins to fine-tune some areas of her life that may never get fine-tuned because God has somebody with an anointing to come and complement the anointing she has, and He compounds it together and meshes them together where the recognition is taken off of Brother Mike. And nobody can say, oh, did you see what Brother Mike did in the service at camp? My God, it was phenomenal. And Brother Mike becomes renowned overnight. Everybody wants to see his needlework. But what God wants is for us to give Him the glory and take that off of us. Don't even allow yourself to think you're great or you're big or you're somebody. You're nothing without Him. The Bible says we can do nothing, absolutely nothing without Him. Go back to Ephesians 4. Now you have to wonder, how can you tell if somebody's a real apostle? Get your thinking caps on. I gave you five spices how to recognize the fivefold ministry. This guy's not a put-on. He doesn't need recognition. He's probably somebody you never heard of. He's never been on TBN or CNN on any TV station. But God has raised him up in the backyard of Arkansas or in the cane fields of Louisiana and has anointed him and raised him up to be an apostle to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about Latter Saints, but his church. Because the hour that we're living in, we're going to need every input we can get. We need to hear from the real apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And while I'm at it, let me get off my soapbox. Evangelists are not the evangelists that we know in this modern society that travel from town to town or on TV. That's not an evangelist. Go back and study the Bible. They won the whole town, and it cost them their lives. How many evangelists you know are dying because the whole town got won over by the Lord Jesus Christ through their lives? That doesn't make headlines. If there are real evangelists in here, that means every one of us are supposed to do the work of an evangelist. But somebody sold us a bill of good, a traditional, like Doc said, Mr. Tradition showed up. The demon himself. That says, you know, brother, you have an anointing. You ought to travel. You're a great evangelist. When God had me in his church for what he called a revival, and he says, Evangelist Ronnie Beezer, at the end of that, Brother Glenn, he had a big picture of an alligator. I thought, what in the world is that? I said, brother, what is that? I got an alligator. I guess he wanted me to chop him up. I'm fixing to eat you up, Bubba. Hallelujah. Verse 12 says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of the Anointed One. How many of you are anointed? How many of you have Christ in you? The Son of God, the Anointed Son of God. How many of you have the mind of Christ? If you have the mind of Christ, you have an anointed mind. You do not have a traditional mind. You do not have a reprobate mind. You do not have an epidemic mind. You have the mind of Christ. Think like He does. See yourself bigger than what you see yourself tonight. Reach for the heavens. Because out of the heavens are come a word of clarity to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you must be able to hear Him. So He can speak it into the earth. Some of you may never pastor a mega church. So what? When I didn't want a vision of a large church, God didn't give me a large church. Now I don't want a large church, and He's fixing to give us a large one. You figure that one out. Like Brother Pittman said, in spite of me. When I think I can handle something, I can't handle it at all. When I don't think I can do it, it happens. How many of you tonight, if I ask for a show of hands, you would like to know when God is going to birth you into your ministry? Raise your hands. You cowards. How many know He's going to take you back to the pulpit and temper you, 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 and temper you? How many more demons do you need to get cast out? It may not be a demon, honey. It might be an issue of your heart. But if you got one, God's got a few specialists. They're sitting on the front row. I grew up in a church that was really strong in deliverance. We studied under Frank and the late Ida Hammond. Somewhat studies of Gene Moody. I didn't meet him till later years. Other men that came, different parts of the world, and we were privileged. Yeah. And we had mass deliverance groups, and you know, when you have about 1,000 people that cast out a bunch of devils out of, it takes a lot of paper towel. And I'll never forget one night, that brother was up there, he was casting out demons, and I'm going, oh. And I walked up to this one lady, and she looked mean and hungry, and I thought, this is my chance, Bijou, this is it, get her. And I got ready to lay hands on her, and she swung at me, and I ducked. Mm-hmm. And I went, what do I do now? So I run up to the brother and said, what am I supposed to do? She said, don't touch the brother. She'll knock the toe out of you. I said, she tried. I was just a little bit faster. He said, don't even touch her. Let her manifest. And so they began to teach us. And Brother Frank would come and we would have special sessions. And he would teach us about having wisdom. So how to handle people. Listen, folks. We need to pray for people who spend most of their lives doing a lot of deliverance. It is not a kosher ministry. But it's like changing dirty diapers. Somebody's got to do it. And you just better hope it's not you. Then you'll see how you act. I have compassion for people who do that. I do deliverance, but that is not my mainstream. God's got me busy doing other things. Now, when we have people coming out about it, we take care of business. And if we can't, we send them to hot springs. All right, let's see some more. Let's go back to these five ingredients again. Do you know that this myrrh was noted and documented in the church of Smyrna? If you study the seven churches in Asia Minor, you'll find out that most of these boys had a lot of problems. But God is bigger than our problems. We have to think a little higher than what we think. It usually manifests, and it comes from a scrubby tree out of Africa. And like I told you earlier, it has a resin. It's made out of this tree, abstracted from this tree. The colors are reddish and yellow and brown. And it has a very bitter taste to it. It has two things that come out of it called antiseptic. How many of you have ever heard of antiseptic? And it's a stimulant. Now listen to this scripture. Psalms 45, verse 7 through 8 says, how God anointed Jesus with the oil of gladness, dressed up with garments of myrrh, aloes, and cassia. The Song of Solomon 5:5 says, I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh. My fingers were sweet with smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. If Jesus ever enters your room or your bedchamber, the one spice you will be able to identify is the myrrh. Now for the believer, this is how you apply it. We ought to apply taking a bath every day, not in literal myrrh, but in the spiritual aspect of in the holiness of God, in His presence. We ought to take a bath in His presence every day. And I'm almost done. We should not wait till we gather together to, as a church, to become the church, to be under the anointing. We ought to spend time in the presence of God. How many of you have ever dared God to ask God to hold you? Some of you are just as nutty as I am. We had an evangelist in the church one night. He said, you know what I feel? He said, I believe God wants to just hold a bunch of people in His arms tonight. I thought, well, you know, my daddy never held me and told me he loved me. And it took me a long time to get healed and delivered from that. But I guess I was just naive enough to go into my own bedroom and I said, Father, I don't know anything about being worthy or not worthy. But would it be possible to ask you if you would just hold me in your arms? And the room filled with this marvelous fragrance. I didn't understand it. I didn't even know what it was. But all I know for a few moments, and it felt like hours, but it was only a few moments, that these huge hands came and held me. And a few years down the road, when God had first called us into pastoral work, sitting in the living room of my house, these huge hands came through the ceiling. Now you might think this is spooky. And the Spirit of the Lord said, stand up and look into my hands. And when I did that, He said, here's your ministry. I'm not an artist. I drew it to the best of my ability, and I wrote down everything. And He is fulfilling everything that He said about me, whether somebody believes it or not. Did not God say that He uses the strangest things of this world to confound the wise? Now, I know you know that you believe that I'm strange. Folks, I'm telling you, there's going to be times in the body of Christ and when we have meetings and even in camp meetings that there are going to be speakers that are going to get up here that won't even be able to talk.
That's right.
Because the glory of God is going to manifest when people are going to begin to learn how to release what's on the inside of them.
Yeah.
My God, if you could just see it from where I'm standing, when we begin to release what's on the inside of us and don't care who's standing on the left or the right, in the front or in the back, who's anointed, not anointed, just begin to worship God. Father, Daddy, I just absolutely love and adore you. You're the greatest God. You're the most excellent power. Hallelujah. You're everything to me. Glory to God. You begin to release that. Let me tell you something. Your daddy is going to get off his throne and say, what'd you say, John?
Yes, yes.
Amen.
I come to smell you. Smell something good. And I'm saying this to you because when these manifestations begin to happen, you can say, I remember that crazy occasion was talking about that. You'll remember it because you know that it's in the Scripture. Even this myrrh was used in Esther as the purification for women before they brought him before the king. This is also interesting. It is also used as an embalming fluid. I have to say this way. You're either alive or you're dead. Is you dead or is you not? Some of this embalming is extracted from lilies. And guess what else they make out of it? Laxatives. If you need a good X-lax, honey, God can purify you and He can give you every laxative you need to clean you up and purge you up once and for all. What do you think you get when you get devils cast out of your soul? You get the X-lax product. I don't know. We better stop. I could go on for hours in this stuff. When the cinnamon spice begins to manifest, it is noted in Encyclopedia that it comes from the laurel family. It's considered a small evergreen tree. Has smooth, shining leaves, dark purple berries, and it's even utilized. The cinnamon is even utilized to make rattan furniture. When this spice begins to manifest in the body or in the office of a prophet, discernment begins to develop. Now, I know in Arkansas you call it discernment. But back home, we country folks, we call it discernment. So whether you're discerning or you're discerning, this spice begins to manifest. And I'm going to tell you how it happens real quick. When we first got saved and got introduced to the deliverance ministry, we had what we called a list of demons. If you had a problem with rebellion, we knew what every category that was listed on there. Now, back home, we called it the shotgun method. Now, we killed a few demons. But we were not quite as successful as we needed to be. This one little woman from a particular denomination came every Tuesday at 2 o'clock for a conference. And every Tuesday at 2 o'clock, she came with her list of demons, and I had my list of demons, and we cast out demons. But she came every week for the same problem. I said, something is wrong with this picture. But nobody was operating in what we understood as to be the discerning spirits. I'm sitting in my office. I've got my head on top of my desk, and I'm going, God, you've got to help me. I don't know what to do. This same little lady needs help, and I am not helping her. She leaves worse than she when she came. In about 5 minutes before she walked in my office, the Lord says, throw away that list and put it in the garbage and listen. I'm going to teach you how to discern. I thought, I hope I'm not off my rocker. I'm way out there now, God. And she walks in. She's got her list. Hey, Pastor. Praise the Lord, sister. Have a seat. She says, oh, I encountered about 16 different... I said, may I have your paper? She said, yes. I folded it up and stuck it in my book. I said, now, close your eyes. Don't make a sound. I'm going to pray. And I began to pray. And as I would pray, the Lord began to bring him up. She never came back for another session for those particular problems. And we began to practice discernment. When what I didn't know, there was an aroma in the room, and I knew that we didn't have one of these little gadgets you plug in the wall that sprays these odors. It was an old building, and it was filled. And I thought, that's strange. Now, who am I going to talk to about this, Dad? They already think I'm strange. So I went back and I said, Lord, you got to show me something. I think I'm losing it here. She said, no, he said, I showed this to Moses. He said, I'll show it to you. So I called my buddy after she left. I said, hey, man, I got some news for you. I found out how to got them rascals out. He said, how? I said, discerning of spirit. He said, how's that work? He said, come over to the house. We're going to have coffee. And so we began to tell him how it works. And the story goes on and on. This thing continues to develop. And I'm telling you, if you'll go home and study some of these principles and look at these spices and do your own study. I used to give people all the nuggets, and the Lord told me, stop doing that, because they're lazy. If they don't go home and study, they're not hungry for it. So now go home and do your homework. Look at the 5 ingredients. Look at the 4 spices. Look at the 5-fold ministry. Make contrast, make comparisons, and study them. And then begin to listen and get your smell working. And God manifests His presence in a place is generally with 1 and sometimes 2 spices. And if we could ever get in tune with what He's doing, we'll find out what He wants. Yeah. And perhaps the next time I come, I'll teach you on the moods of God. This thing is for people who are in music ministry and how they can orchestrate the mood of God in the service and watch God do miracles in the service because they're in tune with what He wants. And this same principle He showed to Moses. And Moses was a prophet and a priest. He showed him how to operate to know what kind of mood he was in. God's not moody. But in the English grammar, we have different moods. And God began to show Moses how to operate in the mood. I showed this to one sister who is a psalmist, and she told me it made the whole difference in their church. And she began to play a song, and God will kick in on that song, and he tells her, I'm in the mood for this. She knows exactly what mood God is, and she begins to tune in on that piano and begin to hear that. You hear what I'm saying, Jane? You ever felt like some of the songs, or just one particular song, just kept coming back to you? Hello? Some of these songs are warring songs. Some of these songs are love songs. Some of these songs are just absolutely brokenness and worshiping God. Can you stand to your feet? I know it's late. What I want you to do, if you don't mind touching the person next to you. Now you have an aisle, touch two people. You on the other end, you got to touch somebody. If you believe what God revealed to us tonight is true, and you would like to develop that and have these spices and ingredients to manifest in your life or in your ministry, I want you to pray this prayer with fervency and believe what you're saying. Are you ready? Father, I thank you right now. Say this to me. Father, in Jesus' name,
Father, in Jesus' name,
I ask you to impart and to reveal the ingredients, the five main ingredients that you revealed to Moses, and the four sweet spices, and allow them, like the nine fruits of the Spirit, to manifest in my life, to be part of my life, that I may discern what is available, that it has potential, and it has possibility. Let me be part of what you're doing, that I may impart to somebody else who needs the ingredients or the spice to receive an anointing, a compound anointing, by the art of apothecary that is orchestrated by the Holy Spirit of God. Father, I receive it now. I believe that it's so. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, we bless you. We pray the year 2005 that you will come alive and find your endeavor in God, that God will bring you to higher and greater places in the Spirit, and to begin to develop and move to another level. We bless you. We pray the Father's blessings upon you. And we thank you that you would go in peace, that the angels of God would have been camped around you to guard you and protect you, and that when you return again, that you will return again compacted. You will come back compounded. You will come back impacted. And you will bring the endeavor of God in your life and begin to impart to somebody else. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Prayer at 6 o'clock in the morning. Amen. You're blessed.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.